Blog Talk Radio.
This is JJ Bomber. You are listening to Well Armed Radio.
Well, good evening, sheepdogs. Welcome to Well Armed Radio. I have to apologize because I've got a couple technical difficulties here that I'm getting sorted out. So for those listening live, we'll be back in, I can run the intro a second time. I'm going to get these things sorted out and we'll be back in a second. So to those listening to the podcast, if you fast forward about 2 minutes, we'll be back to the full show here. And again, I apologize for running this intro twice, but we'll be right back with you. Thank you. All right. Good evening, sheepdogs. Welcome to Well Armed Radio, where freedom is our best friend. Thank you for joining us in our, well, bi-weekly, relentless, and sometimes ruthless pursuit of freedom. We are broadcasting live from the extraordinarily well-armed studio in New Berlin, Wisconsin. And it is my pleasure to speak with the most informed gun owners in the state. That would be you guys. You are your community's finest. With a face for radio and a voice for silent movies, my name is Nick Clark. I'm the president of Wisconsin Carry and your host of Well-Armed Radio. And I am just a free man trying to stay afloat in the sea of communism. I'd encourage you to be a part of the show tonight if you'd like to by calling or a couple different options. You can call the show if you're listening live, 563-999-3787. 563-999-3787. I'll take calls on the particular topics that I'm on. And then you could also participate in the show by commenting. And you could comment through the Well-Armed Radio MeWe page. That is MeWe.com/P. MeWe.com/P/Well-Armed Radio, and that'll get you to the show page. You know, I should think about, there's got to be a way, now that Truth Social is, I don't know if Truth Social lets you do it, now that Elon Musk is hopefully taking over Twitter, I think there's a way to live stream on Twitter, and I might try to give that a shot as well. As that might be a good way to get the show out there, but we'll figure that out at some point in the future. But I might take comments from the Twitter feed. That might be something I could do as well. I'll have to look into that a little bit closer. But it's for those who, 2 weeks ago, we didn't have a show last week. Had a show the week before. So speaking of Truth Social, and I guess I should finish my intro here. Start the show with the usual warning: no sacred cows here. And then next comment I was going to make, Truth Social, Wisconsin Carry is on Truth Social. I'm on Truth Social now. Truth Social is Trump's, the Trump media technology company's social media platform. It's basically a replica of Twitter. It's good. I mean, I like, as far as a replica of Twitter, it's fine. But it's got some major flaws, some flaws so much so that I'm concerned that it's not going to be a viable competitor to Twitter, perhaps. But see, here's my thoughts, and I've said this on previous shows. Look, see, Twitter is where famous people can get their message out to all the people that want to follow famous people. So your news media types, reporters, I won't even say journalists because they're more – that's where they go to follow famous people, and where people can go, where regular folks can go if they want to follow famous people. But people that already have a platform, Twitter is a great way for them to communicate directly with their followers. But see, in terms of really getting information out there, Facebook is where the people that aren't followers of famous people go. So, you know, if you want to follow your favorite athlete, your favorite rock star, go to Twitter, go to Instagram. But most people, and there's certainly a lot of people that want to do that, millions of people that want to do that, but most people want to keep in touch with their high school classmates, keep in touch with their parents, keep in touch with their kids, keep in touch with their cousins, keep in touch with their coworkers, keep in touch with friends from the gym, friends from college, friends from prior jobs. And that's what Facebook was great for, because Facebook was a great place where you could go keep in touch with all those people. Now, and the reason that Facebook was such a source of information for regular people was because, sure, if you go to Twitter, you can used to be able to see directly what Donald Trump would tweet. You could see directly what, you know, Elon Musk will tweet, whatever. But most people don't care about that. And when I say most, there's still millions that do. Most people don't give a rip about famous people. They give a rip about people they know. Truth Social, in its current form, is a terrible resource to keep in touch with people you know. I don't see any way to make your page private or make your feed private. You're either, you know, anybody can follow you. I mean, it's like a a famous person wanted to create a platform for people, which Trump is. And I love President Trump. I mean, I loved him in his first term, and I'm going to love him in his second term. But I think it's a miss in terms of so back to Facebook is where you might have a friend who's super political, who does go on Twitter, who does watch One America News, Newsmax, Fox News. I mean, reads the Wall Street Journal, reads Epoch Times, and shares information on their Facebook feed that all their friends will see, even friends who aren't particularly politically engaged people or even particularly news following people. But that was how, and then sometimes they might see something that interests them. But that was how information got out to people who weren't real information seekers. And that was the power of social media. Twitter was, again, a place where famous people could get their message out to people who wanted to follow famous people and have debates back and forth with other famous people. But not a great place to reconnect with high school classmates and your parents, whatever. You know, my parents were on Facebook, and they were there so they could see what their kids were doing. They're not going to join Twitter to see what Donald Trump wants to tweet, or they're not going to join True Social to see what Donald Trump wants to tweet or Truth. So because Facebook, which is, of course, I colloquially call fascist book, because fascist book is still censoring things. Sure, you can put something out on True Social and it won't be censored, but then you want to turn around and share that on Facebook where the people that aren't engaged will see it. You can't do it. So they replicated Twitter, and they should have replicated Facebook. And I think that was a huge mistake. So much so that it makes me believe that this is look, Trump's a very astute businessman in the real estate world, but it makes me think that they don't really get it. See, Mark Zuckerberg, for as much of a commie as he is, he got it. He understood that people wanted to connect with their friends. Most people don't want to follow famous people. Again, millions of people do want to follow famous people, but not most people. Most people want to use social media to connect with their friends. They don't want the world to find them, and this is different for the younger generation. The younger generation hopes the whole world finds them and makes them famous also. But most people, you know, most people's Facebook pages, I don't know what the percentage is, but certainly of the adult demographic, I think most people's Facebook pages were private so that only their friends could see them. You know, the general public going onto Facebook couldn't see them. So anyway, that said, Wisconsin carries on Truth Social. I'm on Truth Social. I hope that they build on the platform and add, and I'm certain they're going to continue to, but I mean, it needs a lot of work, but I'm on there. Wisconsin Carries on there. So find me, Nick Clark on True Social, and then Wisconsin Carry. What's Wisconsin Carries? I think Wisconsin Carries is Wisconsin Carry. I don't think it's Wisconsin Carry Inc. I think it's just Wisconsin Carry on. Let me find it here quick. True Social. We are at Wisconsin Carry, which is the same as Twitter. Not Wisconsin Carry Inc., just at Wisconsin Carry. So that's out there. Again, Wisconsin Carry is using Twitter more often now. Wisconsin Carry still has a Facebook group, a fascist book group, but I'm banned permanently from fascist books. So I don't put much, as soon as I have my fiance post information on there. But let's get to the show, the topics tonight. A lot of stuff to go over. You know, the first thing I was going to talk about was here in Milwaukee, but I think I'm going to push this to the end because I think my audience this week, you know, on True Social, there's a lot of people following Wisconsin Carry that names I don't know. I think there are people that are on True Social nationally. And so I think I'm going to skip right to the more national segments here because I was going to talk about Milwaukee and the crime problem. I was going to talk about the Wisconsin GOP endorsement in the primary. But I think I'm going to shift that to the end of the show, maybe even save it for next week and start with the Uvalde school murders because this is obviously the national conversation. And this is something that, you know, will be applicable, interesting to people outside of just Wisconsin, which is, of course, where we're broadcasting from today. So the Uvalde murders. So as expected, the conversation immediately jumps to gun control. And so my approach to this topic is twofold. It's one to say there's two battles that we have to fight and win here. And the first battle is the battle with Republicans, the battle with our elected officials. And again, no sacred cows here. Republicans, these guys campaign like the second coming of Charlton Heston during campaign season. Oh, I've got an A-plus NRA rating. Oh, I'm a gun owner. Oh, I hunt. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, I support constitutional carry. Oh, I support. And then come legislative session, these guys tuck tail and they make every excuse in the world. Oh, it's not good timing. Oh, we don't want to lose our majorities. Oh, we want. And so the part of the battle is the battle for the hearts and minds. I hate to say hearts and minds because legislators don't usually have hearts, but the battle for the minds of the legislators, the Republican legislators, because we don't need to we don't need to win over Democrats. For gun control happens when Republicans cave. There's not enough Democrats to pass gun control, and Democrats don't pass gun control when they have the chance because they know it's a loser. I mean, ask Bill Clinton. The biggest mistake he ever made, he said, was taking on the NRA. Now, times have changed. Liberals have more tyrannical control, more censorship in the media. I mean, so don't get me wrong. Joe Biden is probably going to take his shot at it. But Democrats and gun control, Democrats, they want to push gun control with Republican support. Because when the Democrats could do it themselves, they don't do it. But when the Democrats can get Republicans to cave in, that's when we get gun control. So we don't need to win over Democrats to insulate ourselves from more gun control. We need to solidify Republicans to be Republican in order to fend off gun control. So that the two places that we need to understand the dynamics is Republican legislators and what they deal with, what they see. And then the second is your average Joe citizen who's not, look, 25, 30% of the population, that's your card-carrying, hardcore Democrat liberals, the volunteers, the activists, the campaign workers, the mules that go stuffing ballot boxes with ballots, stuffing drop boxes with ballots. I mean, those are the dedicated, but you're never, ever going to change their mind, ever. I call them DASVs, dumbass swing voters. Because again, if you're a swing voter, if some elections you vote Democrat and some Republican, you're an idiot. You don't know what you don't understand the political arena. You don't understand the party platforms. And you're naive to think that at some point that the Democrats have, and don't get me wrong, Republicans fail on conservative, but Republicans are right sometimes. Democrats are wrong all the time. And I shouldn't say all the time. Democrats are wrong 98% of the time. Republicans are wrong. Republicans get it wrong 50% of the time. I mean, but there are two different conversations here. There's the conversation you have at the water cooler. And then there's the conversation that you need to understand, the dynamic you need to understand from elected Democrats and from legislatures, because it's two different things. So the first thing I want to share is, and don't doubt me on this, elected Democrats, your Democrats with power, whether it's Tony Evers, whether it's Nancy Pelosi, whether it's Tammy Baldwin, whether it's Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer, elected Democrats, they're not idiots. They know that gun control doesn't stop crime. They know that gun control doesn't stop mass shootings. That is not their goal. Their goal is to leverage crime and leverage mass shootings to push gun control, because the people that elected liberal Democrats, this is the ruling Democrat class, the people that they fear the most are not criminals. The people they fear the most are law-abiding citizens. The people that elected ruling class Democrats fear the most are you and me, the law-abiding citizens. We're the ones who have rights. We're the ones who own guns. We're the ones that they are afraid of. January 6th is the Democrats, and again, for all the phoniness and all the trickery, all the, there's FBI, I guess FBI agents that were baiting people, government agents that were baiting people to go to the Capitol. But a January 6th like situation is the biggest fear of Democrats. Democrats are afraid of the law-abiding citizen with guns because Democrats know they want total control, and Democrats know that citizens with guns, law-abiding citizens with guns, are the obstacle to total control. So your elected Democrats, they're not stupid. If you're going to try and convince Tammy Baldwin that universal background checks don't stop crime, save your breath. Tammy Baldwin is not an idiot. She's a communist, but she's not an idiot. She knows that universal background checks don't stop crime. She's not afraid of criminals. She's afraid of you. She's afraid of me. She's afraid of uppity armed citizens that have the audacity to believe they have rights and to believe they deserve freedom. So that's the people that do not try to debate with them unless it's for the purposes of exposing their phoniness. But if you think you're going to email, you know, your Democrat state legislator, whoever that might be, Deb Andraca, I think she's from like Whitefish Bay, because she was on, I was on Up Front this morning. It was taped on Friday, but it appeared this morning. In fact, if you're listening if you're in Wisconsin, I think every ABC affiliate will run the Up Front. They rerun it. Well, they all run it, I think, in the morning. I forget if it's at 9 o'clock or 9:30 on Channel 12, ABC affiliate in Milwaukee. But whatever your ABC affiliate is in your city around Wisconsin, I think most of them might rerun Up Front at 11 p.m. Not sure. I know WISN 12 in Milwaukee does, but I also posted it to the Wisconsin Carry MeWe page. I had it posted to the fascist book group, Wisconsin Carry fascist book group. But that was my interview with Adrian Peterson about, you know, the school shooting issue down in Texas. But if you think that you're going to contact your Democrat legislator and convince them that, look, the gun control really doesn't work, you know, you just need to appeal to them, just logic and reason. Don't waste your breath. Don't be naive. Your Democrat ruling class, they know that universal background checks don't do shit to stop crime. They know that universal background checks don't do shit to stop school shootings. They're not idiots. They know that the shooter in Texas passed a background check. They know that thousands and thousands of thugs in Milwaukee and Chicago who shoot people, and they know that they're convicted criminals that aren't even allowed to own guns. But they get them anyway, illegally. So if you think you're going to convince a ruling class Democrat using logic, look, these gun control measures, you're fool. They don't care. They are not trying to solve crime. They're not trying to stop mass murders. They're trying to get guns out of your hand. The reason they want to ban the AR-15 is not because they think it's a magical, super, super killing machine. It's because it's the most popular rifle, and it's the best rifle for home defense, the best rifle for tyranny defense, the best rifle if, say, you were ever going to stand up to the government. It's the best rifle for that. AR-15 is not the best rifle to go shoot up a school. I'm sorry. The best weapon to go shoot up a school is a shotgun, a tactical shotgun loaded with double-aught buckshot. That's 9 BBs, 9 big projectiles per trigger pull. That's far more deadly, far more carnage than an AR-15 with a little tiny 223 bullet. One of these lunatics figures, they ban the AR-15. One of these lunatics goes into a crowded place with a tactical shotgun, you know, large capacity shotgun with multiple magazines, and you are going to see carnage like you've never seen before. If they knew what they were doing, shotgun loaded with double-aught buckshot, massive carnage. Massive carnage. You want to see a body count. But the 12-gauge shotgun is probably, I think, arguably the most commonly used hunting gun in the, it's not a rifle, it's most commonly used hunting gun in the world. You use it for ducks, you use it for turkeys, you use it for, I mean, people use 12-gauge shotguns for deer hunting. I don't know, I haven't deer hunted in a long time. I know when I was younger, half of the state, you couldn't even use a rifle. You had to use a shotgun. Of course, you put a different barrel on it. But duck hunting, upland game hunting, bird hunting, turkeys, I believe, use a shotgun. I mean, I think it's safe to say a 12-gauge shotgun is probably the most commonly used hunting gun in the world. pheasants, grouse, ducks, turkeys. I mean, all those things, you use a 12-gauge. Some people use 20-gauge, but, you know, 12-gauge shotgun. So if there was no AR-15, if the liberals could snap their fingers and have no AR-15s in the world, I mean, what do you think these people are? Oh, darn, the AR-15's not around. I guess I won't do a mass shooting. No, they're going to, you know, go get a shotgun. Go get a deer rifle with a detachable magazine. But again, probably a tactical shotgun. And again, the carnage would be far greater. So don't think that you're going to convince an elected Democrat that the problem is the universal background. Don't think you're going to use logic and reasoning to convince a liberal Democrat in the ruling class to change their position, because they understand it's for them. It's trust me, trust me, trust me. It's not about crime. It's not about mass shootings. It's about control over you. You're the one that they want the guns out of the hands of. You're the one they wanted to make it. You're the one who they want to know has a gun. Now, for the other people, for the water cooler people, the people you might run into at work, these are people where, I mean, you could reason with them. Some of them you could reason with. You could explain to them, look, the AR-15 is a pathetic gun for mass. The Virginia Tech shooter used a handgun with, had like, I don't know, 30-some extra magazines. I mean, this guy in Uvalde, Texas had a bunch of extra magazines. It takes a second and a half to drop a magazine and swap a new one in. Ban the AR-15. You could have that conversation with your water cooler folks at work. You could have that conversation with your relatives, with a friend. You know, those people you could reason with, and you could, you know, rationalize, explain, and say, hey, look, you guys, this guy passed. Why are they calling for universal background checks when this guy passed a background check? It makes no sense. And some of them, not all of them, some of them are so stupid, they'll just say, well, it couldn't hurt. What's the big deal about a universal background check? Well, what's the big deal about a breathalyzer in your car? Why shouldn't we put a breathalyzer in everybody's car? Well, I've never been convicted of drunk driving. So what? What's the big deal? Put a breath. Every car that comes off of the Ford Motor Company assembly line should have a breathalyzer. Well, that's not fair. Again, welcome to gun control. Welcome to gun owner's world. So there's two different conversations here. The first is the elected liberals, the ruling class Democrats. We have to defeat them, because you cannot logic with them. You cannot reason with them. It's not about logic. It's not about reason. It's about power. They're not about solving the crime problem. They're not about mass shootings. They're about law-abiding citizens and getting guns out of your hands. They're about stemming this growth of gun culture in the country. They're about stemming the growth of the proliferation of rifle purchases, of ammunition purchases, anything they can do to stem that tide and to get every gun registered, because someday they want to get their gun control. Someday they want to get their gun bans. And in the 1990s, when they banned guns, they had to grandfather in everything that was already sold, because they don't have registration lists. But if you can register every gun, then you know who owns every gun. And then if you pass a ban on AR-15s, you know who owns every AR-15, and you can go knock on their door and say, turn them in. Because you know universal background checks, you know who owns every gun. You know who owns, you know every law-abiding citizen who owns every gun. The thugs and the criminals, again, they don't care about them. Thugs and criminals aren't trying to overthrow the government. Thugs and criminals aren't a threat to thugs and criminals aren't a threat to, again, no one's trying to overthrow the government right now, but thugs and criminals aren't on guard. They're not there to protect their freedom and against tyranny. Thugs and criminals are off to, you know, commit thugs and criminal crimes. They're no threat to the federal government. They're no threat to the state government. They're just a threat to people. Thugs don't go after the government. Okay, sometimes you get a random lunatic walk into a police station and start shooting. That happened in Milwaukee not too long ago. But the thug culture, that's, you know, crimes of opportunity, armed robberies, holding up gas stations, robbing people with a gun, you know, those kinds of things. Shooting it out with your, you know, over drugs, I mean, those kinds of things. Shooting it out over an argument with some other dude in the neighborhood, because that's how they solve problems. But so the elected, again, that's the two different conversations that we need to have here. So I start from the standpoint of, well, let's start with gun owners. Let's start with people that should be on our side. The people that should be on our side, we need to play offense. If we sit here and play defense and say, oh, no gun can say, Second Amendment's my right, God damn it, you just sound like an idiot. You just sound like a redneck. No offense to rednecks. I, you know, would rather be a redneck than a person from Wauwatosa. I would rather be a redneck than someone from New York City. Anyway, I would rather hang out with rednecks than hang out with someone from New York City. I would rather... But you just sound like a redneck. Oh, there goes the Second Amendment's my right, and that's the reason why. No, no, no. There's the elected liberal Democrats, the ruling class, don't bother trying to rationalize with them. They're just trying to, they're literally just trying to get guns out of your hand, the law abiding. But the other folks, you should make a rational argument with them, explaining that, you know, things I've already mentioned as far as this, explaining that, look, universal background checks. The shooter in Uvalde, Texas, passed universal background check. Adam Lanza, he was 17. He couldn't even own a gun. He killed his mother. He stole his mother's gun, killed his mother, and then went and shot up Sandy Hook School. This notion that universal background checks would do anything to stop mass shootings is specious. And that's a conversation you can have at the water cooler. That's a conversation you can have with regular folks. But here's the problem. Your elected Republicans, they interact more with the ruling class. They interact more with the liberal Democrats. They interact more with the media. And the media certainly is never, you're never going to change. You're never going to convince someone in the media, at least not in, you know, traditional media, network media, maybe say for Fox News. You're not going to make the case for them. Hey, look, universal background checks won't do anything. Channel 4 reached out to me. Sean Gallagher wanted to do an interview. Hey, Nick, we're looking for someone that's going to the NRA convention and wanted to talk to them. Are you free for a Zoom? I said, well, Sean, I'm not going to the NRA convention. I'm not an NRA member. But I'll happily talk about the issue. No, well, the angle we're going after is how much money the NRA spends on politics. Again, that's where the networks want to go right away. They don't want to talk about true solutions. They don't want balance in their story. They don't want me to come on the network and say, well, you know, universal background checks wouldn't do a thing, but someone armed inside the school would, arming teachers, that would help. You know, they don't even want that conversation anymore. They don't even want out there. So you got these elected Republicans who get disengaged from their constituents and they hobnob in Madison or they hobnob in DC and they go to fancy parties and they, if they're invited to speak at conservative events, they're not sitting there talking to the average Joes. And if they are, when they go to those conservative events, it's all the Republican Party activists who just kiss their asses. I mean, you should go to one of these events. You know, you even get a rhino. Robin Voss would show up at a Republican event and all the people, you know, a local Lincoln Day dinner. So everybody's kissing his ass, everybody there. And maybe privately they're like, yeah, Robin Voss is he's a rhino and he's, you know, but at the events, I mean, they'll stick their nose so far up Robin Voss's ass, they could Eskimo kiss his prostate. I mean, that's just how it is. That's what Republicans, you know, your local Republican, you know, Waukesha County Republicans, they go to an event, Robin Voss is there, for as much as everybody across the state gets frustrated with Robin Voss because he's such a rhino, they'll kiss his ass. Robin Voss doesn't have anybody saying, hey, Robin, you know, I can't support you anymore. You know, you block gun bills in 2018, and then now you put them on the fast track just for purely political purposes so that Tony Evers can veto them. What the fuck, Robin? No one says that to Robin Voss. That once when he shows up at an event, even a local event, people kiss his ass. When he goes to the grocery store, if anybody recognizes him, they kiss his ass. So they don't understand that there's this big sentiment out there. Oh, that's just, I mean, they'll hear it, you know, on social media. That's just a couple, you know, uppity extremist. What did kook fringe? That's what Charlie Sykes once referred to me as, the kook fringe. That's just the kook fringe. Yeah, nobody can make them happy. Oh, that's just, you know, Wisconsin Kerry. You know, they don't know how to work with legislators. Yeah, we tried working with legislators for years. Okay. But so this is the problem that the elected Republicans, the people that they engage with on a daily basis, is the television media that they see and liberal Democrats that they are colleagues with. And they start to get this impression that the whole country supports, yeah, the whole country wants gun control. You know, you get some very grounded Republicans, some very grounded elected Republicans who are going to stand firm. But there's a good number of Republicans who are squishy, ready to throw in. So, but here's the thing, like, I can't even comprehend. So we've got this Uvalde school shooting, these Uvalde murders. I can't even comprehend the insanity of asking gun owners to surrender their rights and submit to universal background checks for friends and family sales. And that's a note. That's what we should start calling it. The private party sale exception, we should call it, just call it friends and family sales. Now it's more than friends and family because you can sell to someone that's not one of your friends, not one of your family, just someone you know, the private party sale. But look, the don't say gay bill was nothing about don't say gay. So private party sales, we should just say friends and family sales. You know, if you want to outlaw friends and family sales of guns, again, that's what we should start calling it. Not completely accurate because it's more like friends and family and, you know, private individuals if you're not a gun seller in the business of selling guns. But I can't even comprehend the insanity of asking gun owners to surrender their rights and to submit for universal background checks for friends and family sales when they won't even lock a fucking door of a school. That's how this kid got into the school in Uvalde, a propped open door. So they want us to give up our gun rights. They want us to not be able to do sales of a gun to a friend, family member. They want us to register every gun we have because that's the only way to enforce universal background checks is a national gun registry. They won't even lock a door, but they want us to surrender our gun rights. I can't even comprehend the insanity of that. That is utterly infuriating. Furthermore, you know, this mentality of teachers who refuse to be armed. I mean, so I go on Up Front with Channel 12 and I'm going to play offense. She said, Adrian Peterson says, well, Nick, well, what's wrong with, you know, 80% of the country thinks there should be universal background checks. Why won't you guys, what's wrong with universal background checks? What do gun owners have against universal background checks? And I said, well, you have to flip it. You have to play offense. And I said, well, universal background checks wouldn't have solved this problem. And I think if you would really want to have a balanced conversation, we should talk about solutions that would really solve the problem, like arming teachers. And that's where you got to go. You got to go offense. And they'll put it out there because they think that's just insane. Oh, my God, arming teachers. So that's one of the things that I proposed as a solution is to arm teachers. Now, you could arm, you know, you could, there's some people who are for armed officers in schools. Look, someone did the math last week. There's something like, I forget, 37,000 or 57,000 public schools in the country or 57,000 schools. We're short on police now for regular policing. Where are you going to come up with 57,000, either the funds or just the pure manpower when every department, not, I mean, I can't say every department, when most departments are short-staffed and hiring people now? This notion that it's a good counter tactic to say, well, we need armed officers in schools, but it's just not realistic. And even if you did, even if you put an armed officer in a school, look at what happened in Parkland, Florida, the Broward Coward. They had an armed school resource officer. The little pussy sat outside, took up a defensive position, like waiting for the shooter to walk out the door, and then he was going to shoot him. I mean, it was pathetic. You remember the Broward Coward. What good did that armed officer do? None. Here's the thing. The only person that you can count on to act in defense is the person who's under attack. Because for them, it's fight or die. So on Up Front, you know, there's a teacher, you know, this notion of arming teachers is just to say, I don't even grasp the mentality of teachers who refuse to be armed. And here's what you should say. If you talk to someone, oh, well, they're teachers, they shouldn't. Well, I'm sorry that you want more kids to die. The teachers are left. My brother had a great comment, and I'm not on fascist book. My fiance still is. And so this was my brother's comment. My brother is a school teacher in California, California. And this is my brother's comment. He said, people say teachers shouldn't have guns at school because they are not policemen. Well, I am a teacher and there is a fire extinguisher in my classroom, but I am not a fireman. I am required to have first aid training, even though I am not a doctor or a nurse. Why am I not allowed to shoot a lunatic who wants to hurt your kids? Mic drop. Boom. Nailed it. I mean, you've got these idiots who refuse to entertain the concept of arming a teacher. Now, I don't even think you would have to arm every teacher. I think if you just armed some teachers, the teachers are already in school. If you've got 50 teachers in a school, maybe four or five of them willing to be armed. I think that's even probably enough of a deterrent to probably take these schools from target-rich environments and turn them into a place where these lunatic shooters would be afraid to go. Take a different target of opportunity. So I don't think you need to arm every teacher. But then I put this, if a teacher isn't willing to, a teacher would be the last line of defense when the FBI background check fails. When, I mean, look at what happened in Uvalde. The failure of law enforcement. Law enforcement sat outside and set up a perimeter while there was still shooting going on inside. Law enforcement was almost assuredly sitting outside in the safety of a perimeter while kids were getting murdered inside, and they didn't go in. This is no different than the Sikh temple in Milwaukee. When the police got there, the gunman was leaving, and he was engaged by the first cop that got there, and the gunman was coming out of the temple, across the parking lot. The gunman shot, I forget the officer's name, but the first officer in the scene, he got shot 13 times by the Sikh temple shooter. He lived. The second police officer on the scene saw the engagement between the first officer and the guy, and he pulls out his rifle and he shoots the shooter in the Sikh temple shooting, the murderer in the Sikh temple shooting. He shoots him to death. The officer that was shot 13 times gets rushed to the hospital. He lives. There was people inside the Sikh temple that got shot one time, and they bled to death because the police didn't go in. I think it was for an hour. It might have been 2 hours, but I'm pretty sure it was over an hour. I'm almost positive it was over an hour. It might have been two. So they didn't even go inside. There was people inside huddled down, hiding in closets, and some laying in the middle of the sanctuary, bleeding out from one gunshot wound because they didn't get first aid, didn't get a tourniquet, didn't get pressure on the wound, didn't. Many of those people that died in the Sikh temple shooting would have lived because they had non-life-threatening injuries if they would have gotten quick medical attention. But what did the police do? They set up a perimeter. Oh, they were worried. Oh, they thought there was a second shooter. Oh, they didn't want to go in. I mean, but they want us to give up our guns? Really? So you got the failure of law enforcement. You got the Broward coward down in Parkland, Florida. Notice the pattern. The only person you can guarantee to act in their self-defense is the person under attack. The person who's under attack has no choice. It's fight or die. The person who's under attack knows exactly where the attack is coming from. The person under attack has the best, most easy shot to take out the attacker because it's coming right at them. The best person to respond to an attack is the person under attack. And again, they're the only person that you can guarantee will act in their own self-defense because they have to. Because they're under attack. They have no choice. It's fight or die. And some of them might choose to just submit and die, bend on their knees and beg the shooter. But others are going to fight. They have to fight. You have no choice. A shooter comes into your classroom. What are you going to do? Say, please don't hurt us, or grab a gun if you had access to one. So the teachers could be armed in their body, a select number of teachers. I've also proposed the lockbox idea, where you have a lockbox in every classroom. biometric or whatever, a lockbox that only the teacher can access. As soon as it triggers an alarm throughout the school, triggers an alarm in the office. Hey, what classroom was the lockbox accessed? So you can immediately, but then not every lockbox needs to even have a gun, but there's a lockbox in every classroom and the kids don't know which ones have guns and which ones don't. And the potential, if it's a student that's going to shoot up his own school, they don't know which teachers are armed and which teachers aren't. Now, again, you might have teachers say, oh, don't worry, my lockbox doesn't have a gun in it. But even then, you'd have to leave the potential school shooters to say, well, I don't know, maybe it does have a gun in it. That'd be a huge deterrent. But if not a deterrent, a huge resource. And it's the only time you would ever access that gun is if you're under attack. So these teachers who said, I'm not a policeman, well, again, my brother's not a firefighter, but he's got a fire extinguisher in his classroom to try to put out a fire till the fire department gets there, if he can't get out. You're telling me that a school shooter comes in and you're in your classroom and you're locked down and the school shooter kicks in your door, that you're not better off with a gun in there in a lockbox that you could access? Give me a break. And I propose this idea, and then I've got these people on Wisconsin Carries MeWe group that are like, oh, well, I don't think you should force teachers to be armed. Look, nobody's talking about forcing every teacher to be armed. I'm not saying next week go force every teacher to get a gun and take training. Start with a select number. You don't have to spend $80,000 to staff a school with people retire and they go work as a greeter at Walmart. I mean, people could retire. And if they wanted to, yeah, retire and go be an armed security for a school. But again, that could be cost prohibitive for many schools. And here's the other thing. You had an armed officer in Broward County, Florida, the Broward Coward, and he didn't act in the defense of the kids at Parkland School. You can't be sure that, hey, the school security officer, XYZ school, a shooter comes in, you think he's going to hear shooting and go run and play hero? He might not. That's not in Florida. He didn't. In Florida, he heard the shooting and he took up a safety position. You never know until the bullets start flying what someone's going to do. Are they going to go be a hero or are they going to be a coward? But one school resource officer, first, that's an easy target of opportunity. If the shooter could take out the resource officer first. You got a gun in your backpack with 10 extra magazines. You could walk up behind the school resource officer because everybody's going to know who he is and shoot him and then go on your rampage. You don't just walk into school with guns over your back and, oh, where's the school resource officer? And these school shooters, they could easily, especially if it's the school that they go to, get into the school with a gun. I mean, yeah, maybe some MPD schools. I don't even know if MPD schools have magnetometers, have metal detectors going in the front door. But so I just don't think that besides the problems with getting enough officers for one in each school, there's just not enough people in the country. I mean, where are you going to find 57,000 officers to start to put one in every school? You're just not. It's not possible. But you got teachers that are already there. If you got 50 teachers and maybe five are willing to be armed, they'll give them a bump in pay, give them $10,000. Hey, go to this week-long training. If you could turn someone who's never owned a gun into a fantastic tactical expert in a week's intense training. Give them a $10,000 bonus every year for being an armed teacher. That saves you the $80,000 of, you could have eight teachers armed. Pay them a $10,000 bonus each for being the armed teacher. Give them refresher training every once a year that the school pays for. You've got a tremendous, tremendous defense line of defense there. Now, if there's still school shootings and you still have kids taking their chances of ending up in a classroom I think that 8 out of 50 classrooms with an armed teacher, I think that's probably enough of a protection to deter this kind of crap. But if it's not, this is what blows my mind is we've got some on the Wisconsin Carry Facebook group, So people are like, oh, I don't support arming teachers. I mean, some if they don't, I don't think you should force it. If teachers don't want to be armed, they shouldn't be. Well, this isn't a choice. When the option, the result is life or death, this is a last line of defense. I'm not asking people to volunteer to go to Iraq or volunteer to go to Ukraine. And I'm saying if a school shooter comes in and it's our kids' lives at stake, I don't give a fuck about a teacher's feelings if they don't want to own it. The job description has changed. I'm sorry. If you're going to be the only person who's there all the time is the teacher. There's a teacher in every classroom. There's a teacher in every study hall. There's a supervisor at every recess. When our kids are at public schools, they are the public school's responsibility to keep them safe. And bullshit if a teacher says, well, I'm not carrying a gun. Well, someone's got to. And if there's not a number of teachers at your school willing to, well, then we need to get teachers who will. I'm sorry, it's now part of the job description. Well, I don't think we should. Wisconsin carry MeWe group members. Well, I don't think we should force people. So, dude, the choice is not your feelings. If the choice is dead kids, you're goddamn right we should force people. Now, do I say tomorrow we got to go in and force every teacher? No. I don't want some nanny pussy liberal teacher who's a, you know, being forced to, but we need to start making this transition here. Start with the ones who are willing. Look, say, hey, we've got 50, we need 10% of our teachers armed. We've got 50 teachers. We've got 100 teachers. We need 10% of our teachers armed. That's the standard that the state of Wisconsin is going to set for us. We need to have 10% of our teachers armed. We need 10 volunteers. If we don't find them, then we either have to get there with, you know, maybe there's a mechanism within 2 years. We have to get there through attrition. Teachers leave. The next teacher that comes in has to be willing to carry, you know. The alternative is not an option. The alternative is like, oh, well, fuck it. Then I guess kids got to, sorry, the teacher, none of the teachers at our school wanted to carry a gun. I guess the kids here will just have to die if a shooter comes in. What the fuck? That's not an option. I don't care about teachers' feelings. We're not talking about, you know, a teacher that doesn't want to teach, you know, hunter safety in elective class. We're talking about life and death. A school shooter comes in. You're the one that can save kids' lives. You're the one that's in the classroom and you don't want to carry, you don't want to be armed. You don't think teachers should be armed. I don't care what you think. My kids are in your classroom. You have a responsibility to keep them safe. If you're not willing to do it, you can't fulfill the job description. I'm sorry. I'm not saying we fire you tomorrow, but you're going to need to be replaced over time. Over time, we would have to have, and again, I think 10% of teachers armed would be enough of a deterrent, enough of a presence to stop these things. But if it's not, then maybe we do need to arm most teachers. Maybe it needs to be 50% of teachers need to be armed. They're the only ones that you know are going to be there. So when I have gun owners and people that are Wisconsin Carry members saying, oh, I don't support teachers, do you realize what you're saying? You're saying because of teachers' ninny feelings, you're okay with more kids dying. That is literally what you're saying. You're saying you're going to put teachers' feelings and teachers' job security as a non-willing, and someone on the Wisconsin Carry MeWe page says, well, even in the military, there's conscientious objectors. Not an accurate comparison, but we don't have room for people unwilling to, I mean, that'd be like hiring a, oh, what would that be like? That'd be like hiring a flight attendant who doesn't want to do CPR, doesn't want to learn CPR. I don't want to do my, so, honey, you're on a plane. There's nobody else up there. We don't know if there's going to be a doctor on a flight or not. Someone could have a medical emergency. You need to learn first aid and CPR or you can't be a flight. I just want to be a flight attendant. I just want to serve people peanuts and soda. I don't want to, I'm not a doctor. No, I'm sorry. You're the only one. The pilot has to fly the plane. The co-pilot has to fly the plane. We can't count on passengers to know CPR and first aid. You as a flight attendant have to know CPR. You as a flight attendant have to know first aid, or you can't be a flight attendant anymore. Well, it didn't. It used to be if you were just pretty and you could, you know, pleasant and you, you know, I just want to teach people how to put their seatbelts on and how to put the mask over their face. And then serve them coffee and peanuts. That's the job of a flight attendant. No, I'm sorry. The job of flight attendant is now, if someone has a medical emergency, you have to give them first aid. If you don't want to learn first aid, if you don't learn CPR, you cannot be a flight attendant. If you're the job of a teacher now that we have school shootings, is you have to be willing to act in your students' defense. If you're not, you can't be a teacher. And again, I don't know that it gets to that point. I think we could get enough volunteers. We could get, you know, say, hey, guys, we need to have 10% of our staff armed. Who's going to step up to the plate? You don't have a choice. We need 10%. If 10% of the staff don't, we need to have 10% of our staff armed. If we don't get 10% armed, we're going to pick people. So either volunteer or we're picking you. And when we pick you, we're going to pay for your training. But if you're not willing to do it, then you're fired. I'm totally okay with that. But like, we've got Wisconsin Carry members who are like, no, that's not okay. They're so worried about teachers' feelings that they're okay. Well, then I guess kids will have to die if the school shooter comes into. I don't want to force a teacher to have to carry a gun. Are you kidding me? It's lives here. It's just the priorities. It just amazes me. So there's other things I want to talk about. Like, there's this folly and this danger for pro-gun people to run to the mental health angle. There's this folly, this danger for pro-gun people to run to, we got a call coming in here, so I'll take this one here. Let me grab my headset. There's this, I'll hold this thought for 1 second, but the next thing I want to talk about is this folly and the danger of these distractions, the folly of mental health, the folly of video games excuses, the folly of no gods. Let's take this call here first for a second and see who we got on the line here. And got him live now. And welcome to Well Armed Radio. Who's this?
Yeah, my name's Joe. How are you doing?
Hey, Joe, I'm good. Welcome to Well Armed Radio. Where are you calling from tonight?
Montana.
What'd you say, Montana?
Yep.
Excellent. So, Joe, share your thoughts. You've been listening. What do you got for us?
I don't agree with you harming the teachers. I'm for the Second Amendment. But the Second Amendment is for the government not to impinge upon the right to bear arms. It doesn't have anything to say with the government forcing people to have arms. So if a teacher wants to have an wants to bear a firearm, wants to have a Glock, okay. And your other proposition about 10% is a starting point. That means 1 out of 10 classrooms are armed, the other ones aren't. So I don't know if that would be enough of a deterrent for a psycho kid or for a psycho adult. Now, if you have TV cameras set up in the hallways, on the doors of the classrooms, and trained people watching the screens, and you have about 4, 5, or 6 of those making the rounds on the grounds of the school, that may or may not be enough. I haven't thought that much about it. I heard your show, thought I'd call in. Don't like the idea of somebody telling me, especially if I'm one of your ninny liberals, that I got to carry a gun. Now you've got a ninny liberal with a gun on his hip, and he's as uncomfortable as can be all day long. And I don't want him handling a gun.
All right, so first things first. So I totally appreciate the call, and I'm glad you expressed this viewpoint, because this is what I want to get at, because this is what I believe we have to overcome, because this is what the gun owners are saying. Of course, someone who's so the alternative, if a teacher is not willing, you're talking about 4 or 5. Now you're saying 4 or 5 armed security people in a school. There's no way schools can absorb that cost. There is no way. And they couldn't even hire enough people. We're short on cops right now in regular departments. Where are we going to find 4 or 5 armed staff for every school? There's no way that's feasible. It's just, that's not even feasible. The money.
Why not? Because that's part of the job description now.
So that could be part of their job description, but the job description for a teacher who's already there and already getting paid $80,000 a year, they can't be expected to act on a kid's behalf. Sorry, the kids in this classroom have to die if a shooter comes in, because these teachers at this – what if you got a school with 20 teachers, small school, 20 teachers, nobody's willing to be armed, and the school doesn't have the funds to have 4 or 5 security people?
Then they have to get the funds. Okay, you're talking about part of the job description now is for a teacher, he gets a raise, And another thing I don't agree with, you take some guy, put him through a week's worth of training, all of a sudden he's a fantastic tactical marksman. No way.
100%. 100%. I disagree with you 100%.
No way.
First off, you don't have to be a Navy SEAL to this is the wonder of concealed carry. Kids pick up guns when there's an attacker in their home and shoot an intruder. It works because the intruder's coming right at you. A gun is easier to use than a mouse and a computer. It's point and click. So you give a teacher.
I'm a marksman. But the thing is, you don't become a marksman.
You
very,
don't have
very
to
few
be a marksman.
Become,
millions of people use their guns.
When you're faced under pressure, you better be a marksman.
No, you don't need to be a marksman.
You have somebody coming after you.
You're not. Then how does concealed carry work so well? How does the guy in Texas who's
because
the shooting
they want
at the school,
to? You're talking about the resistance of people who do not want to carry guns.
Okay,
I don't want somebody
because
doesn't believe
teacher,
in the Second Amendment.
Because a teacher doesn't want to handle a gun, then the kids in that classroom, sorry, you get to die if a school shooter comes
in.
That's not even logical.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
totally logical.
You're saying that if the guy doesn't carry a gun, then eventually the kids are going to die because there's going to be a mass shooting at that particular school. That's the innuendo of your particular position.
Well, of course it is.
That's
it
not true.
No, it has to be.
We don't have enough
presumption.
Mass shootings every year
in order to justify that position. Why, stick five armed people in every school to protect it when you don't have a mass shooting every year?
Because
that means that 99.9% of the
schools.
Let me finish.
How about
either
letting
it's
me
a problem
once in a while?
Either it's a problem or it's not.
Okay.
Either it's a problem. If it's not a problem, then we don't need five or six.
It's a major. It's one of the major problems.
At $250,000 a year of an expense. $250,000 a year expense for a school to have five or six.
All right, let's try to do this logic.
How come it can be in their job description to have to shoot a potential school shooter, but it can't be in the job description of a teacher? How come the job description of a teacher can't change?
I'm trying to explain it to you.
How come the job description of a teacher in the future can't be, if you want to teach, you're going
to
have to be...
I'm trying to teach you. You're going to have to listen. If you're not going to listen, I can easily...
Well, you're not listening
to me. Take it.
Yeah, and I don't have to take it.
No, I'm listening to you. You're interrupting
me
because you're the host.
Yeah,
oh, my show.
It's my show.
All right, it's your show. You go ahead and interrupt, and I'll listen to you next year.
Well, fine. See ya. Okay. Joe, I know exactly who you are because you're on the MeWe page. You're the one interrupting. You're the one that doesn't make any sense. Sticking five or six armed individuals to give a school enough protection, Joe, that is absurd. That is absurd. And oh, Joe is a marksman. Joe, there's millions and millions and millions of concealed carry license holders in this country who defend themselves. So every year, the estimates are 150,000 to 2.2 million. Talk to John Lott. He'll say that because of unreported defensive uses of a gun, they think it's about 2.2 million defensive uses of a gun. Those are 2.2 people who aren't marksmen, don't have to be marksmen. As I said earlier in the show, if a shooter comes into your classroom, you don't need to be a Navy SEAL. You don't need to have your marksmanship badge from the military, Master Sergeant Joe. The attacker is right there, 10 feet, 15 feet. It's do or die. You don't have to be a marksman, Joe. You don't need to be a marksman. Millions and millions and millions of concealed carry license holders all over this country are protected, and they're not marksmen. And these are the gun. And Joe is a gun owner. I'm not questioning that. Joe is a Second Amendment supporter. I'm not questioning that. But this is what we have. This is what we're up against, is our own side not even willing to propose and support a proposal that would actually work, but willing to push things that are completely unfeasible. Five or six, put up all the security cameras and have five or six people monitoring them. You could turn the school into a fortress with $250,000 of staffing every year That means 4 years, $1 million. $250,000 a year for five armed staff, $50,000 a piece, which is low. You're probably going to spend more than that with benefits. You're probably closer to $100,000 with benefits, insurance, FICA, all that crap, you know, the things. You're probably looking at $100,000 per person for a paid person. Four or five people, that's $500,000 a year. $1 million every 2 years. Every school in the country has $1 million extra every 2 years. You're Joe. That's insane. But this is what, this is gun owners. Back to this, this folly and danger of the mental health angle. And they, so gun owners love to push off to something else. Gun owners love to shift the focus on anything, about, get it away from universal backgrounds. Don't blame the gun. Oh, it's mental health. Oh, it's these psychoactive drugs they're giving kids, you know, Ritalin and all this stuff. Oh, it's violent video games. Oh, it's, you know, there's no God. You know, God has been taken out of our schools. Gun owners are always looking for a convenient scapegoat, but I want to mention a couple things on those. Mental health. You could drop $1 trillion on mental health, and you won't get down to the level of the insane lunatic fringe. You could spend trillions of dollars on mental health programs for schools, for colleges, for communities, and you're not going to reach down. You might get, and you might be able to improve mental health by 80%. You're still not going to hit that lunatic fringe. That would, and of course, if you got 80%, if you had a government program that would improve mental health by 80%, you're still not going to, that would be the most effective government program ever, because no government program has ever been that effective. Spend money on the war on poverty. Poverty only got worse. Spend money on the war on drugs. Doesn't solve that. I mean, so if you think you could spend $1 trillion of government spending and improve mental health, you're kidding yourself. But let's say you did. Let's say you spent trillions of dollars and you get 80% improvement in mental health. Again, you're still not going to reach down to that lunatic fringe person who's going to come willing to shoot up a school. But here's the other problem, the danger of mental health. Well, let me back up for a second. So spend $1 trillion in mental health and you still have school shootings, and then they'll say, yep, see, we did it your way, Republicans. We did the mental health thing. It didn't stop. We still have school shootings. Now we got to do gun control. Here's the other problem with mental health, the danger of mental health. Dems would love to deem us all mentally ill, because if the Democrats could say, yeah, let's focus on mental health. So if you're mentally ill, you can't own a gun because we got to stop school shootings. Democrats would love that, because Democrats would deem us all mentally ill. There are Democrats in leadership positions who think that gun ownership is a sign of paranoia and mental illness. Again, Democrat leaders, elected Democrat leaders have said that. So who gets to decide who's mentally ill? Is there, you open up this notion that now mentally ill, we got to focus on mental illness. And so this is where you got to be able to look ahead. You got to see the unintended consequences. You start making the focus mental health, and the Democrats will jump all over that and say, okay, let's have mental health screening for gun purchases. I mean, that's where it would go. So the mental health thing is a trap, and I know it's a convenient excuse / scapegoat / something to push the focus off of gun control, but it's a, trust me, it's a danger. My opinion, my expert opinion, that's a danger. Psychoactive drugs. You know, people are like, oh, they give these kids all these, all the common denominator of all these kids where they were all on Ritalin or they were all on psychoactive drugs. Again, millions and millions and millions and millions of kids across the country take those kinds of drugs, and they don't shoot up schools. These school shootings are still an anomaly. So blaming, if these psychoactive drugs were really the cause of school shooters, then you'd have hundreds, thousands. But they're so, school shootings are such an anomaly that it's statistically insignificant. And so, and I don't know, maybe they have, I mean, maybe all these school shooters have been on psychoactive drugs, maybe they aren't. But without them, it well could be worse. You've got millions of kids taking psychoactive drugs. If they didn't, maybe, you don't know, I don't know. But without some of these drugs that they give to kids who have mental health issues, maybe there'd be more school shootings. Maybe there'd be more kids flipping out Again, we just don't know. So that's why saying, oh, you got to get these kids off the psych on drugs, you know, that's, I don't, that isn't even close to the solution either. I hear people say, oh, video games, these first-person shooter video games, it teaches kids how to be violent and no respect for life, and it makes it just a death on a computer screen. Okay, tens of millions of kids play first-person shooter games, and if that was a triggering cause of school shootings, again, we would have hundreds or thousands of school shootings. So don't blame the video games. And then I hear people say, oh, this is what happens when we have no God in schools. And no, you know, I honestly feel like we've got, maybe it's just because I'm an adult now, but when I was younger, I heard very little talk. I never saw celebrities talk about God or prayer or whatever. Now you have athletes talking about God. You turn on an awards show and you've got actors and actresses. In addition to the athletes, you know, talking about they'd like to thank God. I mean, I just feel like to say that we have less God, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's true that they, you know, they take the prayer out of classrooms, perhaps, you know, but we never had, when I was young, we never had prayer in classrooms when I was in grade school. And there was no, so I just, this whole, you know, people are always looking for something. People are always looking to push their pet agenda when these school shootings happen. Liberals do it, and honestly, conservatives do it too. This is what happens. We need to get it back to God in this country. Well, how do you get back to God? I mean, I think I just, that's another thing that I think gun owners say just to try to push the focus, or doesn't belong in this conversation. My point is I think we need to spend a whole bunch more time on preparation instead of this obsession with prevention. There's this naive, spoiled, incredibly selfish expectation among a lot of people in this country that you can just legislate away evil, legislate away bad things happening. There's always going to be evil. There's always going to be, you know, as long as there's more than one person there's in the world, there's going to be conflict. And some of that conflict is going to turn into evil acts. You cannot prevent a hurricane, but you can prepare for it. Hurricanes are going to come, but you know you have the hurricane shutters on your house. You got the good sump pumps. You got you can prepare for it so a hurricane doesn't destroy your house, your home, your kill you. You cannot prevent evil people from doing evil things, but you can prepare for it. We could prepare schools. We could prepare teachers. And again, not every teacher, and I know, again, but that's this thing, these people that are just so, and John the caller, who's like, yeah, I don't want some, you know, teacher who's not a Second Amendment supporter carrying a gun at school. Again, like, listen to Lockbox, fine. Lockbox in the, you don't have to be an expert marksman. A shooter comes into your classroom, you're going to die. I'd take someone who's never fired a gun and just say, there's the gun. They've seen it on TV, go grab it. And that's better than, you know, again, that's not what I'm proposing, but that's what it's life or death, Joe. When it's life or death, it shouldn't matter if you're a marksman or not. And yeah, you give someone a week's worth of intense training, are they going to be a Navy SEAL ready to go? No, but are they more than capable of a fantastic response to a classroom intruder? 100%. 100%. You give someone a week's worth of the best tactical training and they're better prepared than 90% of the concealed carry license holders in this country. Yet we let concealed carry license holders go off in schools and or not schools, churches, stores, parks. So, you know, John's all bent because he thinks I was interrupting him. John wasn't making any sense. And I do get fired up when gun owners like, excuse me, Joe. Was it Joe or John? I keep forgetting. When gun owners like Joe are part of the problem, are stand in the way of solutions. Or even having an open mind and entertaining the discussion. Nope, it's got to be expert marksmen, five or six of them with cameras in every hall so they could monitor those and respond quickly. Again, Joe or John or whatever his name was wants to spend probably $250,000 on closed circuit cameras and stuff. Then he wants to spend another $500,000 a year on staffing costs for 5 or 6 armed people in every school. Not going to happen. What about private Catholic schools? Those don't have the big budgets and all the money that public schools do. You're going to have a private Catholic school with $500,000 expenditure every year for armed security? Not feasible. Not feasible at all. And just because Joe says it is feasible doesn't make it feasible. All right, that's the show for tonight. Joe, I really do appreciate you calling, and I'm sorry that you got bent about because I vociferously disagree with your position, but it is my show. And when people come on my show and start talking about absolute nonsense, yeah, I let you run, Joe, but then I'm going to cut you off and make my point because I didn't start Well Armed Radio so Joe could come on here and push his anti-gun sentiments and his lack of his phony solutions and his $500,000 a year expenditures for schools as a solution. Sorry. I'm going to push things that work, and that's I've got 90 minutes of a show today. Actually, I put in for 90. I've done what do we got here? About 70 minutes of a show, and we're not going to spend 70 minutes talking about things that wouldn't work, and 70 minutes talking about $500,000 of expenditures for every school in the country in order to be protected. And then Joe says, "Oh, well, you know, you don't need to. These things are incredibly rare." Yeah, they are incredibly rare. So either it's a problem or it's not. Either they're so incredibly rare that we don't need to worry about arming teachers or arming anybody else. But if it's enough of a problem that we have to do something, then let's arm teachers. A few to start. All right. Thank you guys for tuning in. Ralph, thanks for being in. Podcast listeners, feel free to shoot me a message. I love hate mail, nik@wisconsincarry.org. Maybe I'll do that next week. I've gotten some hate mail this week. We'll read that to you guys. And, some anti-gunners who saw me on TV on Upfront. You guys have a great week. Carry on. Be well armed.
Sniper Chick Julie, you've been listening to Well Armed Radio, and I have to know, is that a gun in your pants, or did you just really enjoy the show?
Stop listening to the bombastic loudmouths on the radio and television and the internet. To hell with them.